Now, some of you may have wondered, Don, aren't we going to cover Paul's letters? Yes, of course we will, but I just forgot to mention that important detail. We will try to cover those letters when they were written in the context of Acts, and the books written shortly after the book of Acts. Bible scholars disagree about when many of the letters of Paul were written, and a few even question the sequencing of events in the book of Acts. But I believe that Luke was careful in his writing and carefully consulted with those who were present at various events in Acts. He most certainly knew Paul, although it is possible Luke was not with Paul for every moment of every journey. We know he wasn't there for the first journey. But we can be certain that Luke was updated by Paul regularly when he joined Paul on his missionary travels, and almost certainly served as a scribe helping Paul with his final letters just before he was killed by Nero because of his faith. It is ironic that the emperor to whom Paul appealed for justice would 10 years later condemn him to death. Another irony is that the church in Rome received a letter from Paul about 2 years before Paul was forced to go to Rome under house arrest. A third irony is that the book of Galatians, which speaks of the believers being freed from the Jewish laws, was probably written shortly before the Jerusalem Council, when several of those laws were imposed upon Gentile Christians. But apparently Galatians was distributed widely and was seen as being more authoritative than the council. It is also possible Galatians was written after the council. But let's return to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Verse 42 includes the word teachings in relation to the apostles. The Greek word is didache or didache, which Brian Simmons notes referred to skilled instruction and training. Whether this refers to the document that was circulated widely later in the first century can be debated. It may have been a predecessor, but the didache or didache was nearly admitted to scripture because it was widely used by churches in the late 1st century and early 2nd century. The first part of the book outlined two paths of life and death, the godly way of living and the opposite marked by transgressions of God's laws. There were also directions for baptizing people, when to fast, and that was Wednesday and Friday, what to pray, the Lord's Prayer, of course, 3 times a day, and instructions for celebrating communion. The remainder of the book consists of warnings about so-called prophets and apostles and teachers who were only in it for the money. The book concludes with a brief passage about the end of the world. So chapter 2 of Acts concludes with glowing comments about the communal lifestyle of the early church in Jerusalem. They held all things in common, although Keener suggests that this meant that the wealthy shared much of their wealth with the poor. But that was purely voluntary. He seems concerned that we not read anything like communism into the text, as the sharing was motivated by love and not the result of coercion. One might consider the Jerusalem communal life to be an experiment, but from what little evidence we have, mostly from Paul's letters, the experiment was a dismal failure. Think of it. How many churches that send out missionaries, and Paul was only one of several of their missionaries, have missionaries raise funds for the sending church? Yet that's what Paul did. He often asks people who received his letters to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. They were poor because the communal forms of life tend to lack incentives for work. And when no work is done, there is no income, there is no food, and people suffer. Perhaps that is why Paul wrote, "If you don't work, you don't eat." Paul was not a socialist. He saw where that led. Yet he was not a hard-nosed capitalist either. He, like Jesus, emphasized love as the prime motivator and voluntary sharing as one expression of that love. When combined, with judicious and wise use of the resources that God has given us. Why is it so hard to find that balance? You know the answer as well as I do. We have a nature that pushes us towards sin, even when we resist that nature. Paul explained that in the book of Romans, chapter 7. But thank God for chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. And it goes on to tell you who is not condemned. Read it for yourself. This is Brother Don.